Welcome to the Friday press conference ahead of the 2019 US Grand Prix. Joining us today, we have from left to right, Franz Tost, Zach Brown, Mattia Binotto, Cyril Abitbol, and Claire Williams. Welcome all. The 2021 regulations are now locked in, having been unanimously ratified by the World Council. So can we start, please, by getting your thoughts on them? Perhaps, Mattia, you could start.
Yeah. Obviously, I think, as you said, it has been voted. As Ferrari, we are part of the World Council. We voted as well in favor. We believe it's the right moment to look for a discontinuity for our sports. It has to be sustainable. We are all aware of that. We'll need to work hard as well in the future on a more sustainable, green as well sport. So there is still much to work on. So if there is anything I would avoid to say that it has been locked on, I think there is still, that's a starting point where all together now we need to collaborate, improve furthermore the, what is certainly a good set of regulations, but still much to develop, improve, and certainly as well looking at a more sustainable sport for the future, on the power unit, on the fuel, whatever can be done. I think that's a responsibility we all got together. So far we collaborate well with FIA and F1, but still much to do.
Thank you. Cyril?
Yeah, I think it's good that it's done. It's an important milestone, but as mentioned by Mattias, there is so much more to be done. I will still acknowledge a number of innovations in this set of regulations because there will be a new set of regulations with a financial regulation that will complement technical and sporting. You know, as always, it's a compromise. Some people would have liked it to be a bit different. Maybe more open or budget cap a bit lower and things like that. But, you know, it's a first step. It's, in my opinion, a good step. It's, in Renault's opinion, a step that's going in the right direction for a sustainable sport. So let's see what's coming next. But it's good now that we have clarity on what's coming up for 2021. We can now all start building up this beautiful car that we have ahead of us and start spending towards this new regulation.
Thank you. Claire?
I think from a Williams perspective, we're delighted that the new regulations were approved by the World Motorsport Council. They're everything that we've wanted to see from the various perspectives, whether they be technical and most clearly the financial regulations that are coming on board for 2021 are exactly where we wanted to be. We understand that they're a first step moving forward, but they're certainly a right step in the direction that we wanted to ensure that the sport, but also teams like ours, remain sustainable for the future. I think we all are very aware of how unsustainable at the moment Formula One is from a cost perspective. So to have a level of cost capping at this first juncture is really important to teams like ours, and I don't think that can be underestimated. The technical regulations as well are a step in the right direction. I think there's probably some tweaking to do, but I think certainly is a first step. They're exactly what we wanted to see.
Thank you. Zach?
I agree with everything that's been said before me. I think it's a good day for Formula One. I think it's going to be exciting, 2021, because there'll be much change. I think through this process, the Formula One teams got closer relationships with each other, which is something that while we certainly still don't all agree on everything, I think relationships have been built for the better of the sport. And I also think working with Chase and Ross and the FIA, that's been a good process. I'm sure we all would like to see some things modified, but that's always going to be the case. In our case, I think the budget cap, if there was one area that would have liked to seen something more aggressive quicker, it would have been that. But it is what it is, and I think most importantly, we have a clear direction moving forward.
Thank you. And Franz?
Yeah, all the parties have done a good job. That means Liberty Media, FIA, and also the teams to come up with this new regulation, because all the main topics are covered. What are the main topics? Are the cost cap, because we need to come down with the costs in Formula One. B, the money distribution is more fair than it was before. Then the new technical regulation, the new sporting regulation, and as well the governance. And I think that's an important time frame to bring everything within next year and then 2021 in the right direction. And it's a new start for Formula One, and I hope that it will become a successful start.
Thank you, Franz. Thank you all. Zach, if we could come back to you, please. You've worked hard at restructuring McLaren over the last 18 months. So how much personal satisfaction does the prospect of P4 in the Constructors' Championship give you?
I'm very pleased with the season so far. There's still three races to go. We had a poor Mexico, which was, I think, a good reminder that while we've had a good year, with three races to go, there's plenty of points still up for grabs. But certainly the off-season progress, the people that we've brought on board, you know, Andreas leading the team, James Key, Andrea Stella getting promoted, and really all the men and women at McLaren, our relationship with Renault, they've been an excellent partner. I'd like to give them a lot of credit for our success this year and our improvements. And it's certainly a lot more enjoyable being at this Austin US Grand Prix than it was this time last year.
Thank you, Zach. Cyril, while we're talking about restructurings, you announced a reorganization of your aero department this morning. Just tell us a little bit more about that. Why have you done that?
Well, I think it's fairly straightforward what we're trying to achieve. This year has been marked by a number of satisfaction, but also some struggles. And it's clear that this position of P4 that we had last year is going to be challenging to maintain this year, to say the least, against Zach. But I'm happy that it's a Renault Power team that's going to maintain that spot in the future. We're also in a close fight against France and Toro Rosso and Racing Point. So a number of challenges. I think we've been focused on growing in terms of quantity, making up the numbers. It had to be done, but in parallel, we need also to look for a bit stronger leadership and technical leadership, and making the team stronger in that area. We were a bit lean at that level, so that's exactly what we've done by restructuring our aero department with a mix of external recruitment and internal promotion. So I'm not going to go into the specifics, but we all hope it's going to support Harvest all that there is to offer, because aero department is a big department with very nice facilities, state-of-the-art equipment, so they need to know to deliver more.
Thank you, Cyril. Claire, if we could come on to you, please. Nico Hülkenberg has ruled out a move to Williams in 2020, and Nicholas Latifi is doing FP1 for... was it the remainder of the season except for Abu Dhabi? Is that an indication of your plans for next year?
No, the plan was always to have Nicholas Latifi in the car for these practice sessions that you're seeing him in the next couple of races and in Mexico as well. And it's no clear indication. We've made it very clear in the media that we won't be making our driver announcement for that second seat for 2020 until after Abu Dhabi this year.
Okay, we wait for that. Thank you very much. Franz, coming to you. Pierre Gasly said yesterday that your car hasn't changed much since he's been back with the team, yet the results have been strong in the last few races. If what he says is the case, how do you explain the upturn in performance in recent races?
Maybe he slept not so good, yeah. The car made some progress, yeah, because we came up with a lot of aero updates. And don't forget that also Honda came with a new fuel in Suzuka, which brought us a good performance advantage. And nevertheless, Pierre gets also more and more familiar with the car and with the team. And therefore, he is showing a good performance. We are happy about this.
And you finished in the points here for the last 5 years. You think you can do it again this weekend?
I hope so. Yeah, this is the target. It's not only the finish in the points. We should be really good in the points to score a lot of points, not only 1-2 points. Yeah, but we will see our competitors are very strong and it will become an interesting race.
Okay, thank you, Franz. Mattia, coming on to you, thank you for waiting. What's your analysis of last weekend's race in Mexico? Have you had a chance to look through what happened and how you can help yourself this week?
What happened? No, certainly when it's starting on the first row, it's always difficult somehow not to get the best result in the race. But I think what happened is, as first, maybe we were not fast enough in the race. because if being faster, they could not have undercut us. That's the first analysis. But I think generally speaking, sometimes to win, you need to take some more risks. Some more risks mean to me somehow some more brave, and brave enough means that maybe when Albon stopped, we should have not stopped with Charles and staying out. But in doing that means that we are pretty sure that the tires would not have last to the end by stopping at that time, which was wrong assumption. So it means that in terms of tires modeling, tires understanding, there was still some tuning which was required. So now, looking back at all the data, we are furthermore trying to improve our tires model for a better understanding, and that will give us in the future probably a better opportunity for a better choice.
Okay. Thank you, Mattia. Let's open this to the floor now. And as ever, please remember to give your name and publication. First question, please.
Fred Ferrel, Equipe. Question to Mattia. Your two drivers are fighting for the third place in the championship. Is it an important thing for you? And the one who will finish ahead of the other will be the team leader for next year?
Okay. What is important for us as first is to confirm the second place on the constructor, and hopefully we can do it here this weekend. What will be still important for us is to add some victories for Ferrari team in the last three races. And I think very last is the third place on the drivers. And then whoever will be, not important, will that set the start of next year? Not at all.
Thank you. Next one.
Dieter Renken, Racing Lines and RaceFans.net. Question to Mattia, please. Mattia, obviously you're on the WMSC and you voted in favour of the regulations. You also have a veto. Had you at any stage considered triggering the veto about any aspect of the regulations, or at the very least voting against the set of regulations?
No. So as we said, we voted in favour, so we are happy with the new set of regulations. If not happy, at least we are convinced that's the right way to go. Did we consider it in the past? I think as many times we answered to the same questions, was for us more important to collaborate with F1 and FIA to make sure that by end of October we got the best package to be voted. And I think that's where we put our focus and our effort. That's all.
Okay. Next one.
Abhishek Agarwal, India in F1.com. Question for Matteo. Matteo, last week in the post-race press conference, Vettel mentioned that Ferrari cars are quickest in the straight line, and the fact that the power unit is great. It's just that the less downforce, and when the tires get a bit older, there's some pressure. Now, given the fact that this track is more favorable with regards to downforce, do you think Ferrari cars would have an edge over the weekend?
No, I think it's two different points. As first, we are still lacking downforce probably compared to our competitors, and that's an area of weaknesses, something that we improved all through the season. I think that today we've got a good package, but not good enough, and we are very aware that having downforce is important, certainly on some circuits like Budapest and Mexico. But if you look from Budapest to Mexico, certainly we did great step forwards in the right direction. So we will need to add further downforce on the car. We'll need to add further downforce for next season, and that is important for the race pace, for tire degradations, and so on. Adding downforce means that adding drag, we will be slower than on the straight, but still we believe that we got today a good engine, and that's in our favor, and we hope to keep the same advantage in the future.
Thank you. Next one.
Scott Mitchell from Autosport. 205, please. Obviously, the final regulations only came out yesterday. They've been described as immature and underdeveloped in recent weeks. Now you've got the initial tranche of provisional regulations, I guess. Are there any early sort of red flags or concerns about areas that need further development or are particularly green?
Franz, why don't we start with you?
No, so far we have now a good basis on the technical regulation as well as on the sporting regulation. And of course, there will be further discussions and some fine-tuning, but the most important pillars are fixed, and the rest then we will see.
Zach?
I agree with Franz. There's no red flags. I think fine-tuning the regulations are quite complex and long and new, so I'm sure there'll be questions, comments, modifications, but nothing that appears to be alarming or big gaping holes at this point.
No big issues. Certainly, all the team will start developing the cars 2021, put more effort, and I'm pretty sure that by putting more effort into it, we will find out eventually some areas that will need to be further improved. But again, I think what will be important is the process of discussions, the process of regs modifications, which means as well a governance that we'll need to put in place. And that will be key from now to the start of 2021, but earlier we do that, better will be.
Yeah, and to pick up from where Mattia left it, probably to confirm all details of the governance, because in order to make changes as we develop the cars and that we face some unknowns or some loopholes, we need to see how we can fix what will be missing in the regulation. The other aspect, the other chapter, which in Renault's opinion is maybe not developed enough, is really the roadmap on the engine side. We exactly know where we are on 2021, but fuel, biofuel, freeze, partial freeze, progressive freeze, complete freeze, in our opinion, those aspects need to be addressed so that the economic side of the engine activity is also sustainable, just as sustainable as the chassis side.
Yeah, I would agree with what everyone said so far. I wouldn't certainly think that there are any red flags in that. I would also probably say the use of the word immature would be slightly unfair to the countless people that have put a huge amount of effort into these regulations on the side of the FIA and F1. A lot of people have been involved. A lot of people have spent many, many hours making sure that these regulations are in the best possible place that they can be up until this point. And I agree with what everyone else has said, that probably there's just some tweaking that needs to be done in them.
Thank you all. Next question.
I'm Bernardo Berch from Correio do Povo, Brazil. My question is, with the cost cap coming and these new regulations, it goes for Zach and Claire. I think it's the things that are would be more concerned. Won't be two development things for two cars until the cost cap coming in starts to take place, and then won't be harder to catch up. I think Ferrari and Mercedes will have two teams working to develop a 2020 and a 2021 car. Won't it be hard to catch up later with less money when there is a cost cap working?
Zach, let's start with you. Harder to catch up?
It's hard to catch them right now. You know, Ferrari, Mercedes are fantastic racing teams. They've got a tremendous amount of resources. This is going to be a journey. The cost cap, there'll be a lot of spending in 20 that will have implications for 21. And then, of course, once you get a head start, when you see regulations, whether it's on the power unit front, stability over time starts to bring things together. So I think Ferrari and Mercedes are in a great position. And we're all trying to catch up, and it'll definitely take some time.
Yeah, obviously, I think we're in a slightly different position to McLaren. Our budget is much smaller than theirs. I think probably for teams like ours, for Alpha, for Haas, that are operating on considerably less budgets than the rest of the grid, it is a really difficult piece of work at the moment to try and marry up the programs that we're running for not just this year, for next year and for 21. But I would say it's probably the lesser of two evils. You know, we did try in the strategy group to see if we could bring the cost cap in earlier so that the bigger teams wouldn't have to spend all this money that they're worried about spending for next year. That would be clearly a bonus. There's clearly going to need to be some convergence, which I'm sure we will see. We've got stability on these regulations for 5 years from 21 and beyond. So it is difficult. It's incredibly difficult. But these regulations, particularly, as I said earlier, the financial regulations that we're seeing are the right things for teams like ours that are truly independent, that solely rely on sponsorship.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's clear that the top teams have an advantage. They will use the next year, even this year already, for developing the 21 car. And they will have this performance advantage for 21. The cost cap real will come in, let me say, or will count from 2022, 2023 onwards. 2021 will become a difficult one. But this was discussed anyway.
Okay. Let's move on. Next one.
Yeah, it's Joe Sayward from Auto Week. We're talking about saving money, and we're increasing the number of races. Now, there's a cost to that, financial and human. I'd like to hear your views on whether 25 races is too much.
Is that for everyone, Joe?
For everybody, please, yes.
Claire, let's start with you.
25 is a lot of races, you're quite right. Looking at 22 for next year is an awful lot, and obviously all the teams are having to look at, I think, the impact on that for personnel, just purely from a lifestyle perspective, and having that work-life balance is incredibly difficult. We've all got support personnel that we can rotate in and out. I think obviously for the bigger teams it might be an easier challenge. From that perspective, they have a bigger budget in order to bring in more people in order to support that rotation. It is difficult. From a financial perspective, though, there is an offset. So, you know, obviously we go to more races, there's more money in the pot that then gets distributed. So really from a offset financial piece, it's not the end of the world. It's more managing people, the people that we have working for us, and not putting too much pressure on them to be away from their families 25 weekends a year.
I think... Yes, it's a good summary. I'm pretty sure that the figures can work, so it can be still economically positive to increase the number of to expand the calendar, increase the number of races. But as Claire has mentioned, it's really a stretch for everyone. And I think the main question is a question of quantity versus quality. Having said that, we are in a world where we need to have as much and as frequent touch point as possible with the fans, with the media, with digital, creating content. We are in a world of content where you need market share, you need to be visible, you need the exposure. So it's a difficult one, probably not one for us to really answer, probably one for the promoter mainly, but it's a stretch for all of us. And in my opinion, even though the sporting, the measure made on the sporting side to sort of reduce the weekend are going in the right direction, in my opinion, doesn't really balance enough of what an expansion of the calendar will mean in the future.
Yeah, I think there is not a clear answer. By the fact there is not a clear answer, it means that it's a good question. I think we are not all convinced at the moment. I think it's part of discussions that we may need to have with F1. It's a compromise at the end. It is an extra effort financially. I'm even not too sure it will be to our benefits. Depends obviously where you are going, racing in the extra races, how much are the revenues for those ones. So there's a lot of points that will need to be addressed on the number of races. But still, again, I think it's a matter of being positive, collaborative, finding all together the right answer.
I think my only build is I'd like to maybe see alternating races as a potential solution. I think when you have new countries that want to embrace Formula One, that's a good thing and exposes us to new parts of the world. But maybe instead of having 25 races, which I think is achievable, but would require probably doing things differently than we do today, that maybe alternating some races on the calendar would be a good compromise to grow the sport without straining the system as much as I think 25 races would.
There's nothing to add. Everything has been mentioned.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Jean Doublet from Agence France Presse. The track looks much bumpier this year than it was last year. Do you think it could create problems with the integrity of the car during the race?
Who's that question for, please?
Agence France-Presse, Jean Doublet.
For everybody,
of course.
Okay, Franz, let's start with you this time.
So far, I don't expect any problems. You know, the engineers have no time to analyze all the data, and then I'm convinced that they will find the correct setup, even for a bumpy track. Yeah, and I don't expect any problems in this case.
It certainly looked bumpy from what I saw on the screens from the first session. I've not had a chance to speak with the drivers to get their feedback. Not worried about The integrity of the car could catch a driver or two out in the race. There was definitely a few drivers going off the track, so could create for some excitement.
Yeah, certainly bumpy. I think that to say right now that it will not affect the reliability would be very brave, because maybe later in the race weekend we may affirm the opposite. As a matter of fact, this morning we had a small inconvenient due to, we believe, on a bump happened some small issues. So just as example. So yes, it needs to be managed. We need all to be aware of it and making sure that's not affecting the result.
Well, not much to add. I think it's in addition to the reliability, it's also, it affects the setups and finding a proper balance between sector one with the understeer that you can create on those bumps that you can fight, but to the extent of what you get in sector three and stability and oversteer. So will be a compromise, might be an interesting challenge for all of us.
Yeah, you know, our engineers were talking about it this morning, how bumpy it is, and Nicholas was reporting particularly turns one or two were particularly difficult to get round. I think just from our perspective, we've had a lot of race attrition over the past three or four races, and we just would like a very clean weekend so that our poor manufacturing guys don't have to do a whole lot of work after this race going into Brazil.
Thank you all. Next one, please.
John Massengill with Speed City here in Austin. And this question for Zach. Do technology fans need to worry about the 2021 rules with cost caps? And cars look great, but technology fans don't want F1 not to be at the pinnacle.
No, I don't think they have anything to worry about. Formula One's always been the pinnacle of motorsport, unbelievable technologies. And I think where things are going with the broadcast and social media, I think the way that we communicate with fans via technology is actually just going to increase. So I think fans have plenty to be excited about for the future of Formula One.
Thank you, Zach. Next one.
Graham Harris, Motorsport Monday, motorsportweek.com. Question for France, Zach, and Cyril, with perhaps some comments from Matteo and Claire, that dreaded word Brexit looks like it's headed sometime before the 31st of January. With Zach and France and Cyril having facilities in and out of the European Union, what measures have you taken to ensure that your daily workload isn't increased and there are no problems going forward? And perhaps Claire and Matteo, have you made any preparations for Brexit? Has it wasted a lot of money so far? Any other comments?
Cyril, why don't we start with you?
Well, I have to say that I have a bit lost this this plot recently, but yeah, no, it's, you know, we're working. We have some measures in place. I think we know how things are going to take place and shape up for anything related to races. We're not totally clear on the logistic between our two factories, one being in France, the other one being in the UK. That could cause some delay, and that's still unclear. We're working with Renault-Nissan Group on the logistic side to make sure that we understand exactly, they have access to the authorities, and they will be able to help us in that respect. So we are lucky to be part of a group in that respect. And on the personnel side, because we've recruited a lot, 24 nationalities working in our factory in the UK. Obviously, we don't want to lose these people, so we understand that there will be some sort of grandfathering, some measures to protect them, at least for initial years, until we know a bit more about the exact measures. But again, I think we first need clarity about Brexit itself.
Thank you. Franz, coming on to you. Factory in Italy, wind tunnel in the UK.
I was Tuesday in Pista, in the wind tunnel. We discussed this topic quite a long time. And, you know, the major issues are logistic and, of course, the people, the employees who are working there coming not from England. And currently it's difficult to make a plan and a program because we don't know all the at least defined rules. Once this is out, once, first of all, if they decide the Brexit, that they know what they do or what they want to do, and then we have to sit once more together and find the best possible way.
Thank you. Zach.
Yeah, we have a team back at the factory, a little Brexit working group. So we're prepared for it. It'll impact, I think, everyone's business to a certain degree, but fortunately, it's been going on long enough that I don't think there'll be any surprises, and we'll work around it accordingly.
Thank you, Mattia. Any Brexit thoughts?
No, not really. We do not have a working group, at least in Maranello, on that one. Obviously, we need to take care of for our people we've got eventually for UK people in Italy, but it's not worrying us, certainly.
Thank you. And Claire.
Yeah, I mean, like Zach says, we've had a steering committee on this for the past year now, because there are clearly a lot of touch points that are going to have an impact. When it eventually does happen, around personnel in particular, is something, you know, I think Cyril said he has 24 nationalities, we have 28. There are a lot of considerations on, obviously, not just the people that are working for us, but their families as well, whether they're based with those people in the UK or whether they're in Europe. There are issues around foreign exchange, around freight crossing through borders, people crossing through borders. So there's a lot of work that's going on, and obviously with the continued uncertainty, that makes life a bit difficult. So we're looking forward to the whole thing being resolved sooner rather than later, and we can all move on from it.
Thank you. Next one.
Dieter Renken, Racing Lines and RaceFans.net. To all of you, I believe you very recently received your draft commercial offers, let's call it the Concord Agreement. Is this a good document, an acceptable document for your business models, or is it just a good starting point for negotiations?
Matty, can I start?
So true that we just voted the new set of regulations, but the entire Concord Agreement need to be discussed and agreed and signed. That's on the commercial, but on the governance as well. Working group have been set to start discussing the details of the documents. I think it's only after having seen the details that we may assess where we are and what's required.
Zach?
Same as Matteo, you know, we're going through it. It's a long document, complicated document, no major red flags, and we've got the necessary people within our group going through it to all contribute to, you know, questions, comments that we have. So I think like any legal document, there'll be lots of commentary, but we're pretty comfortable with, you know, what's been presented.
Thank you. Friends?
Basis is okay. We are working on it, our people, and so far I haven't seen any big dramas or red flags. And I think the document itself is so far acceptable. Once more, we are still studying it.
Thank you. So.
Well, I hope and believe that the principles of Concord are more or less in a good place. Maybe not everyone will agree with that, but I'm talking really about the key principles. But clearly, we all know the devil in the details. You're looking at me. You're both looking at me. I'm not going too far. No, frankly, I don't expect any major, you know, renegotiation of Concord terms. What's been proposed, because that's something also that part of the discussion of the whole package, even though it's not been signed up, so if anyone is free to sign or not to sign. But clearly I expect the details of the drafting of the document to take much longer. We all know that when one lawyer gets involved, so at least we have 12 lawyers. So that's going to take a bit of time probably to get agreed.
I don't have much to add. Everyone said what I would say. We're looking through it, and we haven't seen any red flags to date.
That's all we've got time for. Thanks all, and good luck this weekend. And a full transcript of this press conference will be available shortly at fia.com.